In the name of Jesus Christ, who loves us and gave himself for us, Christian friends, there are many, many personal invitations from God in Scripture, personal invitations. The invitation to call upon him in the time of trouble. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me, Psalm 50:15. The invitation to turn to God for forgiveness. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, Isaiah 1:18. The invitation to step boldly before the throne of grace and there to find mercy and help in our time of need, Hebrews 4:16. And also the invitation to cast all of our worries and fears and anxieties on God because he so deeply cares for us, 1 Peter 5:7. But of all the personal invitations of God in Scripture, I can think of none more personal, more precious than the invitation of our Savior in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You who labor, he said. Labor means hard work, and heavy laden means to be weighed down. And it's interesting to see how Scripture uses these words in other contexts. For example, the same Greek word for labor is used in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, to describe a long, frustrating night of fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Not one fish, not one nibble, so that Peter would say to Jesus, "Lord, we worked hard all night. We labored, but we didn't catch anything." And the same Greek word for heavy laden is used in Acts chapter 27, verse 10, to describe the heavy cargo of a merchant ship. Of course, Jesus was not referring to cargo or fishing when he said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." And yet, these images, the heavy cargo, the futile night of fishing, so graphically illustrate the way that many of us go through our lives. Right now, how many of us are carrying heavy burdens around like the cargo of a ship and sinking lower and lower in waves of frustration and worry? And how many of us today are laboring at something with no results and saying, as Peter did, "Lord, I've been at this all night, but I haven't caught anything." In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul described another type of laboring that often leaves us frustrated and weary, and that's this conflict, the war between our old nature and new, the desire we have to please God, and the obvious evidence that we fail to do so. If you listen carefully to Paul's words in Romans 7, you can almost hear the frustration. "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." And then in frustration he cries out, "Oh, what a wretched man I am." And his experience has been our experience. Let me ask, given the heavy burdens and weariness of our lives, doesn't that invitation of Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 sound perfectly wonderful? And doesn't it sound exactly what we are all looking for? "Come to me, I'll give you rest." But what did he mean by rest? Did Jesus mean bodily rest? Did he mean spiritual rest? I'd like to suggest that he meant both. That spiritual rest is the primary emphasis of this text is evident from the words, "You will find rest for your souls." That deep inner part of our being that cannot be reached by Lunestra and Ambien and 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep, that inner part of us that can only be set at rest in peace by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet, while the emphasis of the text is indeed spiritual rest, I think that Jesus would want us to include bodily rest as well. Why? Because spiritual rest is connected to bodily rest. And if you're tossing and turning on the inside, I can almost guarantee that you are tossing and turning in your bed. I'm not suggesting that Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 is a quick, painless cure for insomnia. But what I am suggesting is that if you and I heeded this invitation of our Savior, and if we came to Him for rest, and if we took Him our problems and we left them there, instead of chewing and chewing on them like an old tasteless piece of gum, would we not sleep better at night? Are you laboring? Are you heavy laden? Then look no farther than the words of this beautiful text, because in it, Jesus not only tells us how to find rest, but He tells us how to keep it, and He does it in a memorable way with three imperative verbs. And the verbs are come, take, learn. Come, take, learn. Let's consider these very briefly. First, come, He said. Come to Me. But why is it so important for us to come to Jesus for rest? My friends, if you are wearied, if you're weary of soul, if you're frustrated by all the headaches and heartbreaks of this life, you will not find rest in anyone or anything else. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. What does that mean? That means to be saved, Jesus is the only way. To be given rest, Jesus is the only way. And all the other so-called ways to find rest and peace in this world, whatever they may be, fame, fortune, power, drugs, alcohol, are temporary at best, destructive at worst. Just type the phrase, how to find inner peace, into an internet search engine, and you'll find millions of websites with millions of different answers. The Bible has only one, and it's the right one. If you want rest, come to Jesus. The second thing He said was take My yoke upon you. If come is a word of invitation, then take is a word of application. Why application? Here's the thing. You and I hear this invitation of Jesus often. Come to Me. I'll give you rest. But we don't always come. Why not? I'm not actually certain. Perhaps our first inclination is to seek for rest on our own. Or perhaps at times we view the Word of God, the coming to Jesus, as being small and insignificant compared to the magnitude of life's problems. You know, the way that we think that, well, the Word of God is just fine for Sunday school children, but not for grown-ups living in a world of wars and disease and divorce and bankruptcies and natural disasters. But you see, it was exactly that kind of grown-up pretentiousness that Jesus opposed right before this text when He said, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. That word babes can mean infant, can mean little child, but it can also mean childlike. And notice that I said childlike and not childishness, because it's when you and I come to our Savior as a little child, knowing who He is, knowing how much He loves us, knowing what He's done for us to redeem us, knowing that He'll never leave us, knowing that He will never allow our trust in Him to see one instant of shame. That's when we enter into God's promised rest. Take My yoke, He said. Put it on. Apply it. The Greek word actually includes the idea of a perfect fit. Jesus is saying, come to Me and My word, and you'll find that it fits every situation in your life. And finally, Jesus said, learn from me. Literally, go on learning from me. If you and I could name just one thing that makes us more worried, more wearied, more frightened than anything else, I wonder if it wouldn't have something to do with uncertainty. All those questions about what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I get sick? What if I lose my job? What if I can't pay the bills? What if I die? That list is endless. And at the heart of the list is this all too frequent notion that somehow God is sleeping, God is unaware, God is distant, God doesn't care, or worse than that, that somehow God is out to hurt us, as if he were a schoolyard bully interested in pulling the wings off of flies. Can you see why Jesus would say, learn from me? Because it's in Jesus that we see the fullest revelation of who God is and what God is like. Our God, the one that loved us enough to sacrifice his one and only Son to save us from our sins. And dear friends, if we learn to view the world in that way, if we learn to view it through Christ and his cross, our hearts will be put at rest. And so if you are struggling today, if you're weary, if you're heavy laden, then why not heed this invitation of Jesus? Come to him, partake of him, learn from him, because if you do, the outcome is certain. He said, you will find rest for your souls. Amen. Our hymn this morning is 457, all three verses. 457, all three verses.